regard to the handlebar tap house, which I have not made it out to yet.
That's what you'll be hearing all the time after listening to Savage Love Woman. And joining back today.
Hey guys, welcome back to Savage Love, episode 2. We know it's been much requested and we're happy to be here. I'm once again joined by dating expert Grant Balzer.
Yeah, hello guys.
And 17-time Russian Bachelorette champion Carter Vance.
Yes, sir.
All right, so today we're going to be focusing a lot on first dates and those ideas. But first, let's just catch up with the crew. So Carter, we're going to start with you. What has been new in your life since last episode?
Well, if you remember last episode, I was only 4-time Russian Bachelorette, and now I'm 17, so I've obviously been busy with that. And I've also went on a recent dating show in which all of the contestants dress up as their favorite fruit. And yeah, that was a pretty interesting one.
All right. That was interesting. Grant, what's new with you?
Well, I've been writing this book and I poured my soul into it. But when I came to release, I sold 5 copies. So if you want to go into the caption, click that link. Come on, guys. Let's get that book up.
Hey, what's the title of the book called for all of our listeners who will actually try and buy this? It's
What Happens After the DMs. It's just a solid book about all of the advice that you're going to get in here and more. So just click the link. You guys got it. Just get that on the New York bestseller. We got this, guys. Come on.
Just a quick reminder, guys. When you are purchasing that book, use code BALZ, B-A-L-Z, short for Balzer, because of Grant here. So it really mean a lot if you supported him.
What about you, Jack? What have you been up to in your life?
Cancer. Yeah. So, for our first segment, we're going to be talking about first date ideas, and we actually are going to be each reading off some fan mail that we have received. So, I'll just start. Let's just dive right into this. I have one here from Trevor H., and it reads, "Hi, Savage Love. I have been stalking this girl for 5 years, and I found out she's my cousin. But she's finally into me, and she doesn't know that I'm her cousin. I have a date set for this weekend. What should I do?" Any advice, guys?
Well, I mean, you're already committed. Just go for it. I mean, if she's that pretty, it doesn't matter.
I think another good one for family situations is have like a family reunion type deal.
For sure. Never know if you have other hot cousins.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. In fact, I'd probably go meet the parents on your first date because, I mean, you already know them. They should be your aunt and uncle. So It will take that awkward situation out of it so fast. All right. Mine is from TrevDog H. And he's talking about how he just got his permit and he finally asked his girl out on a date. However, like I said, he just got his permit. And so if he went and picked her up, his mom would be in the front seat while she would have to get in the back seat. So he's just looking for some advice here.
Does he have a ripstick?
I don't know. I don't think so, though.
Okay, so
he doesn't seem like the type that would.
I think ripstick is the number one option. If she's into a more bad boy, alpha male type stuff. But I think if you don't have a ripstick, you go for a pogo stick because then she is forced to be on top of you while you're bouncing up and down. And it really improves that chemistry and it's really going to help your date go well.
Well, worst case scenario, we don't get like a ripstick or a pogo stick. We ride in the car with your mom, right? It sucks. It's bad. But put up a curtain. You won't even know that she's there. And bonus, some little private time in the back. See if you know what I mean.
Wouldn't you have to have like soundproof glass for that? How soundproof is the curtains? Do you know from experience?
No. You just give her some earplugs. She'll be fine.
Because then you can play like some Go Fish in the back or something. That's right. Smart. That's smart. Right. I like that.
A little gambling on the first date. Really know what you're up against.
Okay, that makes sense.
Be good. Lastly, I have one from I'm Dating My Cousin 8. It reads, "I just met this girl at Comic-Con, but I found out that she's a cat girl and I'm a dog guy. And so when we go to FurryCon, I don't know what's going to happen, right? That doesn't work. Dogs and cats, you know, it's not going to happen. What advice do you have for me?"
Grant, I would advise you to act like you were on National Geographic you were being narrated by the one and only David Attenborough. So you were
for those of you who don't know, he's the guy with the super cool accent.
So you were just wild. You were just absolutely wilding on this chick, just doing like the coolest things. Pretend like you're an alpha male lion and she's this sexy female lion and you mate like 20 times a day. So I think definitely not from experience. Just want to clear that up. That will help, or so I was told.
And then I'd also say, going off of the lion analogy, raw meat. If you take her out on a date, make sure you just ask for the rawest slab of meat you can and never use utensils. I mean, obviously she's attracted to that dog side of you. So really, really go into that. Maybe just eat on the floor too. So that's my advice for you.
Well, I dated my cousin H. I wish you the best of luck, but I hope that you really lock this down. You got it.
Okay, so for this next segment, we're really going to be answering the big question of, what if she's not interested in me? Or what if she's not feeling the same way I am? And to break this down, we have a table, right? The top tier is a Sigma male. Sigma males are very attractive, but they're very money-oriented. So you don't chase a lot of the women, but the women naturally chase you because you have money and that's all they care about.
Think of your host, Jack Savage. Prime example of a Sigma male.
Okay. For the next tier, we have an Alpha male. These people are just the most attractive people around. They're like that sexy lion that we mentioned earlier. And they really chase after these women and just dig into them and eat their meat. For the table below that, we have a Beta male. Beta males are just the most mid-tier people around.
Just about the most average you can get.
They're not that tall. They're not that handsome. They don't get that many women. They don't have a job. They're average in everything they do. But they're not the worst because the worst is Omega. Dead last. Worst of the worst. Ugliest. Women do not want to be within 200 feet of you because you are disgusting at everything you do.
It's not a coincidence that the girl in Clone Wars was named Omega and everyone hated her.
All right. So for this first segment, we have a special guest. It was pretty hard to get in here because we had to tame him with raw meat. He has been called a legend because he is a pedophile, a sex offender, and a cannibal. Coming in at 4'11", 278 pounds, Sawyer Alpha Minnick.
Yeah! Let's go! Sorry, that was an outburst. It's sort of like, I kind of have this thing like, sort of like Tourette's. I usually just call out to women for them to find me because I kind of get like bored after a while. So sorry if it happens throughout the podcast.
Oh, that's all right. So does that scream sort of represent presence? I think, you know, that's something I can relate to. My dad was not present for my life. He went to go get the milk one day and he did not return. Sawyer, would you be present for all of your alpha babies?
Probably not, because I will eat them as they're being born and in front of my wife's eyes. And sorry, I'm kind of getting teary-eyed. I didn't actually have a father in my life either, because once I turned the age of about like 2 months, I killed him and I attained my alpha status.
So what are some ways that you, you keep up with your alpha mentality, and what contributes to your massive biceps?
It's kind of a merging of protein and testosterone, and some of the methods I get for getting protein, you eat literally anything that has meat on it. So I kind of like to get freaky, and my testosterone, I just sleep with dudes. Frankly, it's actually a method that has worked with me throughout my whole life.
And so, have you gotten any healthy relationships out of this?
Healthy, yes. But lasting, no. I do consume the mom and recruit the children to be my Chinese sweatshop slaves. Now, they don't have to be Chinese. Really, any ethnicity will work. I just need people to keep producing my creatine and steroids within my basement. So yeah, it's kind of like a Breaking Bad situation where they're like just making these kind of drugs in my basement.
So would you be Walter?
I would say I would be Walter and all the kids.
Do you,
Jesse.
Okay, so do you have a sidekick, or do alpha males work alone?
Alpha males work alone, but I will work with a sidekick as long as they don't try to challenge me. If they do, I kill them.
Alright, so you're just, like, killing life, doing the most that you can do. What constitutes as a challenge for you?
So, obviously, we all know that I can pull women, so I do like to challenge myself with pulling guys. It really is a challenge for me, because they're not as attracted to an alpha as myself, so I do like to challenge myself with that.
Alright, so, I think that's all the time we got. We really appreciate you being here, so I just wanted to say thank you. Alright, that was a bit of an interesting last segment we had with Alpha Sawyer. He had to leave us right away because he is currently eating babies with hot moms. So for this next segment, we're joined by a beta male. I know, it's a little bit sad. But we have Trevor H here. Guys, does that name sound familiar at all? Trevor H?
Just a little bit. Trevor, do you have any nicknames by any chance?
No,
any friends.
Huh. You know, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong person. So, yeah, never mind that. Trevor, you're a beta. You don't get many girls. You're not going on many dates. But let's say, hypothetically, in a galaxy far away, you got a date somehow. Walk us through your ideal date.
Perfect date.
My perfect date, personally, would be... Now that I have my own car, you know, my mom's not tagging along. So pull up in my car, you know, give her some flowers, you know, make sure you get her at the door and walk her to the car, get the door for her, you know, and then, you know, go to dinner somewhere, you know, pretty, take her to Olive Garden. And then I personally think that mini golfing is super fun and would be perfect romantic, you know, perfect lighting. If it's too dark, I would say ice skating for sure.
Okay.
Trevor, let me be the first one to say that you are glad that you came to us because you need some serious help.
Yeah, Trevor, that's just like the polar opposite of what you want to do. Like, speaking from just all of my teachings and everything, I mean, you should have picked up my book. No, hey, link in the bio. You still click it.
I already pre-ordered it, but... I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, I'm glad that you came on here because we can really help you. So Jack right here has got the best advice for you for this.
Okay, so what I would have to say about your ideal first date there. Well, Trevor, your lack of experience definitely shows. In the words of Anders Storheim, are you stupid?
I think a trained monkey could have come up with a better date idea, buddy.
That was very respectful, and that's where all the problems come in. I think your keys to being successful are disrespect, right?
For sure.
We know that they like bad boys. You know, have her home at what time, guys? What time
would you say, Trevor?
I was thinking 9:30.
So at 4
wrong.
Hours.
Yeah. It's got to be past 9:30
a.m. at least. 9:30 a.m.
Take her to
day.
The Bahamas for a week. Don't have her back by a week. Show her dad that you are better than him automatically. She will see that, and she will start calling you daddy after that.
Yeah.
Trevor, okay. You're too respectful. Clearly you're just taking your beta lifestyle and living it. But you need to just assert dominance, become an alpha. Just show her dad who's boss and just take control of the relationship.
But how do I
do
that?
So let's run through your day again. But let's do it with our ideas instead of your absolutely rubbish ideas.
Okay.
So you said pick her up first. And you just said pick her up in your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a huge monumental experience, right? And you don't have the homies with you. Like, that is a huge red flag.
Trevor, you drive a Jetta, all right? So here's what you do. You go to the richest neighborhood you can find. You steal the nicest car you can find and pick her up in that. However,
with a Porsche.
From experience, hide the screwdriver that you jacked into the ignition, all right? She will ask questions, and you do want to avoid those.
Make sure that your homies are in the passenger seat.
Yeah, she has to sit in the back.
Yep.
She has to sit in the back. The homies always get the front, especially with a monumental thing like this. Because this will probably be the only date you get in your life.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You wanted to go to the door? No, you stay in the car. One hand on the wheel, asserting dominance.
The
no
other
flowers.
Hand laying on the horn.
Yeah.
Can I also give you a word of advice, Trevor? When your hand is on the wheel, be flexing your bicep. She will see your massive biceps, and she'll be instantly attracted to you because she's probably not already because you're a beta.
Wait. Can we go back to what Carter said? You said to just leave my hand on the horn. Are you sure I shouldn't just give like a polite little beep just to let her know I'm there?
No, make sure you push it to the max. Honk the horn till it runs out of air. Just Trevor, make sure that the whole neighborhood knows that you are there.
You are a diehard beta, and it's showing hard, buddy.
Trevor, do you want her to just know that you're there, or do you want her to feel your presence? Do you want your dominance noted by every house in the neighborhood?
We already talked about presence and how important it is for a woman to see this in a man.
Oh, okay. I don't know, guys.
But... okay, so next. Where's your restaurant of choice that you're taking here, right?
You said
obviously,
Olive Garden, right?
Obviously, we're not letting her choose because it's not her choice. So where would you take her? Where's your ideal choice?
I said earlier Olive
Garden. Wrong. That's terrible.
The most basic
place. Do you know how expensive Olive Garden is, Trevor? Like that money could be that money could be spent on so many other things that are just way better than this girl that you're probably never going to see again because you're a beta.
And as we heard in the first episode, Carter took his girl to McDonald's, and that's how he ended up winning the Russian Bachelorette. So we just need to know that is the way to win cheap options, and that's just the way to win her over.
I think it should be noted, though, what Carter did. Carter actually pulled the old "I forgot my wallet" on the girl in the drive-thru.
Because why would I pay?
She paid for his meal, and that asserted a lot of dominance. And he went on to win that season. So
and you have to order so much food, so much food.
Is that to assert my dominance?
That is to assert your dominance. No, you only eat one bite, and then you throw the rest away.
That is how you assert your dominance. To put on mass, Trevor. You were trying to expand those biceps into something massive, because I'm looking at his biceps right here, everybody. They're microscopic. I have a microscope in my hand, and I still can't see his biceps. They're I have never seen something smaller.
The most beta you could get.
All right, so what's next on the date? After
mini golf, right?
Mini golf.
Putt putt.
Okay, so say you did go mini golfing. Sure. Say you did go mini golfing, which obviously you'd bring your own putter, right? Your $1,000 custom putter? Okay, yeah. Good.
I'd also bring my pool stick.
No, that's the first mistake. So
always bring a lacrosse stick at least.
You have to demolish her in mini golf. And if you don't, you have to cheat. You have, like, there is no coming back from losing to her in mini golf. And even let me just
add to that. There's no excuse to losing to a girl, period.
Even if she loses to you by 15, that's still a loss in your book, Trevor. Mm-hmm. That's too close. You have to win by like 50 plus. It just can't give them anything. You really can't. All right, Trev. Let's say mini golfing didn't work out. Let's say you went to go see a movie. What movie would you want to see?
Is that a beta male I hear?
We regret to inform you guys that Alpha Sawyer has eaten Beta Trevor, and there's limbs left and right. Blood is everywhere. So
sadly, we can't get another interview segment. He left to go pump some other weights,
and he may or may not be eating more babies.
And today's sponsor is
Bid for Blondies. Where you bid for Blondies. Our first Blondie is Grant Ballshead. He likes cats. He is 4'1". His size are 8 feet, and he likes to whistle. Starting at 0.1 of a cent. Bid for your Blondie, Mr. Ballshead.
Hi, so for this next segment, we're joined by a very special guest who we're not going to tell you who it is right now, but it's just someone who's very dear to our heart. So with that, we're going to start here with our first question. What were you doing February 4th, 1990?
I'll never forget that day. It'll live in my memory for the rest of my life. I think even when I'm dead, it'll still be implanted in my brain. All I wanted was some Reese's cups, but there weren't any Reese's cups at the gas station. So I had to go get some milk.
Approximately how far away is this gas station? Because we've heard from some people that, like, when you go get the milk, they never return. So how far away was the gas station?
I actually had to travel all the way to Zimbabwe. That's part of the reason why I never came back. It was a very long journey, and I fell in with an African tribe, and I've really been with them ever since. This is my first human contact in probably 10 or 15 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that must have been a really hard journey.
What about your kid? Have you talked to them ever?
Yeah, he's actually LeBron James, so we talk all the time. The Lakers kind of stink right now, and, you know, I'm just trying to be there for him. I've never met him in person, but, yeah, I try to be there as much as I can.
So what is LeBron James and you have very different physical traits. Was that the mother then who gave him all of those basketball traits?
You know, interestingly enough, there was no mother. It happened, but I don't know why his physical traits are so different than mine. Just one of those miracles, you know.
Your other son, that was less black, that you left to go get the milk. What was his name?
I believe his name was Leopold III. Yes.
Ah, yes. What if I were to tell you that there's one more son that you never knew about?
Impossible.
Well, right here today, we have him with you. Jack Savage is your other lost child.
Oh, my. This is unbelievable. So many emotions are coursing through my soul at this moment. Jack, I'm at a loss for words.
Jack, what do you have to say about being reunited with your long-lost father?
Did you get the milk?
I did. It's gone bad, though. I'm sorry I've let you down.
Well, thanks for that touching testimony. Jack sadly had to leave. He was overcome with emotion. But we have a couple more questions about being an Omega male and how that's affecting your life right now. So, Carter, I'll turn it over to you.
So, yeah, my first question is, before, when all we knew is that you left for milk and never returned, we really thought you were an Omega male. But since your incredible journey, we've kind of determined that you're either an Alpha or a Sigma. So how would you say you completed that transformation from the scum of the earth to the basically a Greek god?
Remember those Reese's cups that I went to get? That's all I needed. And I searched the world for Reese's cups. Zimbabwe was the wrong place. Who would think that there'd be Reese's cups in Zimbabwe? What a fool I was. I was scum of the earth. After I left Zimbabwe, I swam across the ocean. Out of nowhere, one day, I believe it was February 6th, 1999. Reese's cups floated from the bottom of the ocean. I was surrounded by Reese's cups. I ate so many Reese's cups, I thought I might turn into one. When instead, I turned into the superhuman you see before you today. That's how.
That's an amazing story. We're just so lucky to have you on the podcast.
You are. You are lucky. Yes.
Yes.
Well,
and final question. Will you try to reach out to any of your sons after this or continue with the treatment you've given them?
LeBron's really the only one I care about, so everybody else means nothing to me.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Savage, he's accomplished nothing in his life.
He's, yeah, a step below Leopold III for sure.
Rudy, yes. The true Omega.
Yes.
Well, thanks for this eye-opening segment. Thank you so much. And now for the reveal. Drum roll, please. It is the one and only Mr. Ray.
All right, so for this final segment, we are very blessed to have one of our favorite special guests back. He is a professional hopscotch player. We are once again being joined by Sigma Male, Anders Storheim.
What's up, guys?
All right, so we got a lot of questions for you regarding your financial status. So just to start off, what do you do for a living? How do you make all this money?
So I'm actually a professional hopscotch player. It's very a tight league, and I barely beat somebody by 0.2 seconds last time. But I make millions of dollars off sponsors, especially Nike. And I just make money just off of being in commercials and movies and stuff like that.
Wow, that's really cool. Is this aired on TV at all? Or
it is. It is.
Oh, the way on. What may I ask?
It's on the Arabian TV site. I kind of speak in a different language in it, so you might not understand what I'm saying, but
okay, that makes sense.
Arabians love it, so.
Also, for any of you listening at home, it will also be streaming on ESPN 8 The Ocho. So
try and tune in sometime.
Yeah, right after the Pogo Stick World Championships.
Can we get a sneak peek on like how you play this hopscotch and like really
break down your process? Yeah. Break down your pregame process for us.
Okay, pregame process. I listen to some Taylor Swift, of course.
Yep.
Always gets me in the mood, and all these girls always follow me as I'm going up, and I try not to have them as a distraction because hopscotch is really just an intense and riveting game, and I really just listen to music and just jump in the right places. I practice my jumping jacks, my jump rope, everything like that, and that's why my calves are so big.
Oh yeah, for real. We can see it in the studio. I mean, you're just sculpted calves. And does that help you get the ladies?
What ladies? I do not care about ladies.
That's
ladies
true.
Are the enemy.
See, it's they a true sigma male here.
True sigma male.
They are distraction. They are the enemies. I hate them.
Oh, okay. What do you think about guys?
Well, that's another story. But, woman, don't go after them. They will come after you.
That's how you became so successful in your field?
Yes.
How many women, like, how could you break down how many women go after you? Like,
well, on a good day, on a good day of my hopscotch, I would say at least 50 to 100,000. But
it's quite the range.
Yeah. On a bad day, 49. But 69 is the best number for me, but I don't know.
And last question for you. Does the type of women that come, are they always the same species?
That's a good question. Sometimes. It really just depends.
What do you attract the most of?
Woman frogs. Woman frogs. They jump around. They love my calves, obviously. Same type of jive, some type of jumping, but yeah, woman frogs.
All right, well, that is Sigma Male Anders Storheim. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you all so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on episode 3.